So apparently, you know, yesterday, president's out there on the lawn of the White House. A lot of people in our neck of the woods are there, and we are supposed to believe, and we are sitting here supposed to take in the idea that these people are genuinely looking out for the best interests of Kansas Cityans and those around the metro, and that another $1 trillion in spending is going to fix all of our problems. You buying that? I'm just wondering if you're buying that, because I'm sure as hell not. Happy Tuesday. Good to be starting another show with you on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM and 103.7 FM. So you had Charisse Davids. She was there yesterday at the White House. You had Mayor Quentin Lucas was there at the White House yesterday. Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver was there yesterday, as they were all celebrating the signing of the president's infrastructure bill. That, as Mayor Lucas put on Twitter yesterday, means increased investment in our bridges, our roads, our water infrastructure, our union workforce, and our city. Now, I'm sitting here and I'm seeing record high inflation going back 30 years. I'm seeing major problems with the economy. I'm wondering, by the way, who's going to end up doing these jobs as the administration tries to dwindle the workforce through its vaccination policies that are completely unconstitutional. So you can have all the money to spend on things like roads and bridges. I'm just wondering who's building them. I mean, maybe they haven't thought that far ahead, but seems like a fair question to ask. I don't know about you. Meantime, Emmanuel Cleaver said in a statement, after years of empty promises and fruitless infrastructure weeks, I was proud to stand with President Biden today to let the world know that the United States of America is ready to build back better than ever. See what he did there? With the Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act. Now, this is not Build Back Better. This is just the $1+ trillion infrastructure package. It's amazing that now we've spent, you know, over $1 trillion on supposedly roads and bridges and, you know, maybe a plane or something here and there. We'll get a train for Mayor Pete and his husband. You know, they're big train guys, so we can get them hooked up with a little choo-choo train. And we just kind of don't even blink anymore. We've spent $1 trillion that we don't have, and we're just supposed to sit here and act like, well, this is actually the bipartisan infrastructure plan. You see, this is the one that's actually not all that bad. We haven't even gotten to the $3-5 trillion Build Back Better plan. We haven't even gotten there yet. Charisse Davids, congresswoman here in the 3rd District of Kansas. She said in a statement, every step of the way as we worked across the aisle to pass infrastructure legislation that creates good paying jobs, make strides against climate change. Yes, the 3rd District of Kansas. Without the 3rd District, we just can't fight climate change, you know? It's really amazing. Johnson County and Wyandotte County going to lead the way on fighting climate change in the world. I mean, forget the fact that the Chinese and Russians are giving us the middle finger. It's all happening right here in Johnson and Wyandotte County. Not sure if you guys knew that. Sets the foundation for long-term growth. I pushed to make sure that Kansas 3rd was part of the conversation. Signing this bill into law today is a big step, but it is not the final step. I'm going to continue advocating for these funds to come to our community. Charisse Davids, by the way, is the vice chair of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. So you saw a lot of folks from our neck of the woods who were in, you know, fairly prominent locations yesterday. Now, obviously, you know, we're sitting here middle of the country, and transportation, especially when it comes to roads, is a big part of what we have and what we do. People going across the country, up, down, you know, east, west, north, south, the whole deal. So it is a big part of our economy and our regional economy. And I've never been against saying, hey, if we've got a road project we need or we need some new bridges, can't you specifically target those monies in a truly slimmed down infrastructure bill? Not $1+ trillion of spending. Not when you've got things in this bill We told you about this last week. You know now car dealers are going to have to figure out how to fit breathalyzers into every car? You're not buying? No. We told you about it last week. I mean, it was part of the conversation we had late last week. Yeah, they're going to have to figure out how to make sure that drunk people can't drive cars. Admirable, sure. Who's paying for that? Can you help me figure that one out? Who the heck is paying for that thing? Who's developing that technology? How exactly is that working? I'm not making that up. I'm not. I'll read it to you right here, right now, from the Associated Press. Congress mandates new car technology to stop drunken driving. The bill demands that every single new car has a system that can passively and accurately detect whether the driver is drunk and shut down the car if it does. Now, there's nothing remotely similar on the market. It will fall on the car companies to figure it out. What will that do to the price of your car, out of curiosity? As noble as this is, and the idea came from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which, by the way, had no product in mind. They just spend big money on lobbying for it. The other company that spent big on lobbying for it was a company called Intoxilock. They sell car breathalyzers. And anybody who is familiar with breathalyzer technology knows that it is a very imprecise science. Police have to recalibrate them. If they don't, a court won't accept the results. And now, let's say you got a potential emergency at your house. You got to pray that the system in your car doesn't falsely detect, or else, you know, you can't use your vehicle because your car might think you're drunk. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that is also in this infrastructure bill for roads and bridges and choo-choo trains. What will this do, by the way, to the price of new vehicles? It'll jack them up to the moon because, well, they've got to figure out technology. The car companies have to now figure out technology on how to make this work. No one's got anything in mind. No one's got a fail-safe to figure out, hey, if I get in my car and I've gotten an emergency, I want to make sure my car is turning on. No one's got any idea about any of this stuff. And this is just one example of the many of things in this bill that we don't even fully know about right now that is going to dramatically change the way we operate, the way we live, and the way we go about our business. But don't let any of our local leaders try to tell you otherwise right now. Let Sharice Davids, the mayor, Manuel Cleaver, let them all tell you how this is the greatest thing ever. Something tells me, though, you know, because we know the snail pace that government operates, something tells me that as inflation continues to move on up, and this is not going to help it, I don't know how much it's going to hurt it, but it's certainly not going to help it, right? It's not. There's no way this is going to help stem the tide of inflation. No way this is going to do anything on that front. It may not dramatically hurt it, but it's not going to help it. As people continue to feel the pinch in their pockets, these people are telling you, hey, maybe by 2024, we'll repave your road down the street with the $1 trillion that we just spent. That's the pitch. And they're hoping that it works in 2022. I have a strong feeling it won't, but we'll see. 5767710 is how you join us here as we get rolling on a Tuesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. You know, usually as I'm getting ready for bed at about 9 o'clock or so, I go to bed early. I'm an early guy. I saw something last night that kept me up for another hour involving the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department and the lies that were being told about them. We'll dive into that coming up next right here on KCMO Talk Radio. Trillion here, trillion there. What's the big deal? Stop complaining, all right? And just be grateful that we have a government that is looking out for you and willing to spend this kind of money of your grandchildren's to, you know, try to buy a couple of votes come 2022. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, the infrastructure package that was signed by the president yesterday and saw a lot of local faces in the mix as well. Jim in North KC, let's say hi to Jim here early on a Tuesday. Go ahead there, Jim.
Yeah, I work for a company that really enjoy your guys' shows every morning.
Thanks, Jim.
But I work for a company that does traffic control on bridges and roads and airports and flood control projects. and you know, we're not the only one in town, but we are busy all the time with this infrastructure work. But our politicians seem to think we never do anything around here. And anyone who drives the roads and uses them, they've got to see that, you know, they're under construction all the time and major projects going on.
Jim, that is such a good point.
They use this to, you know, increase our taxes and pass these big bills like this, but yet it's a pittance for what they're going to give that part of the roads and bridges and stuff compared to what they're going to use for other things.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Jim, you are absolutely right. I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, they act like, you know, states already spend, and this is around the country, billions of dollars of their own money, I mean, their own taxpayer money, on infrastructure, right? That's already something that gets done. The idea that no road gets fixed or bridge gets fixed or built without the federal government's a joke. And you want to know where a lot of this money is going? The National Review wrote a pretty darn good piece about some of where this money's going to be going. Let's see. First, the Department of Transportation is going to go on a hiring spree. Freight Waves reports that the Department of Transportation's budget will go from about $90 billion to about a $140 billion budget, an increase of about 50%. But don't worry, it's for the best reasons. Freight Waves says in this report, a big concern with the major pot of federal investment dollars is protecting the money from mismanagement and fraud. Huh, interesting. Got that? The Executive Council of Political Appointees overseeing a massively expanded bureaucracy will prevent waste. That makes sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Second, the bill is also going to make Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Transportation Secretary, one of the most powerful people in Washington. His department has the money and the power to decide who gets it. Everyone who wants anything built in the U.S. is going to come begging to the Department of Transportation. Now, the Secretary of Transportation is usually not a very influential position or person. But, especially for people who see Mayor Pete as the future of the party, want to give him a chance to exert some real influence. And this bill does that. It's politics for Mayor Pete. It's politics for the future of the Democratic Party. And that's just a sliver, along with some of the stuff we've been telling you about here this morning and over the last couple of weeks. That's just a sliver of what's to come here in this. Steve in Kansas City. Hello, Steve. Go ahead there, my man. What's up?
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Doing well. What's happening?
Hey, I have a thought and kind of a comment about this whole thing with the infrastructure bill. I'm a construction worker. I've had a good living at it. I have five children, been married for a long time, and got a house and all that good stuff. But haven't we already been through this with Obama with the infrastructure? I don't carry a shovel to work. This is one of the biggest disconnects in our government. They sit up there in front of the screens and they tell how everybody, all the Americans are going back to work. But if you notice, who he had with him was iron workers. The Iron Workers Union, okay? Mm-hmm. I do mechanical contracting. The only time I worked during Obama was when he was planning on changing all the infrastructure of the hospitals over to his Obamacare program. If you weren't working then,
the shovel-ready jobs, right?
Yeah, the shovel-ready jobs were for his, all. It's all for their whatever their interest is. I'm not as smart as you on this, but I am. Mm-hmm. This is the disconnect that they don't get. There are multiple other labor unions out there. I mean, there's guys hanging sheetrock. There's guys doing mechanical contracting. There's guys doing roofing. There's literally guys that will do caulking around windows. Mm-hmm. Caulking's not going to hold up bridges. I mean,
you know what's amazing, though? This is like, Steve, you're the guy that's supposed to be like, oh, man, you know, maybe
exactly.
I'm not in love with the Democratic Party.
I'm super happy because I'm going back to work. No, you know where I'm going back? I'm the forgotten American. I'm be sitting on a park bench looking with my head down. I was literally that guy during Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I do represent the blue-collar worker. And this is what frustrates me the most. You sit up there and you watch Joe Biden sniff his little nose. You see his little representation of what he thinks his country's about. And then he talks about limousines. I could not watch that. I could not watch that for more than 3 or 4 minutes. I was done with it. The entrance, the grand entrance, the way they took forever to get up to the podium. And then they start talking, and they talk about limousines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that there was a horrific accident that happened probably with the limousine. I don't understand. But it's like they bring up these subject matters that are unrelated to infrastructure. They have no idea what the American people need to keep food on the table.
None.
It's just insane to me.
Steve, you are the guy, and thank you so much for the call. You are the guy that this is supposed to appeal to. That right there. Steve in Kansas City is supposed to be the union guy, the blue-collar guy, who the Democratic Party has lost over the last 10 to 15, but really been on steroids for the past 5 years. That guy. That guy. And I'm not saying Steve in particular, but a guy like Steve, probably for most of his life, was a Democratic voter. Once again, I'm not talking about Steve in particular, but people of Steve's ilk. Union guys, working construction, old school Democrats. The Democratic Party has lost that person in waves. Those people have run, not walked. They have run away from the Democratic Party over the last 5 years or so. And President Biden and Mayor Pete and Manuel Cleaver and Sharice Davids and Quentin Lucas, who were all there yesterday, all believe that this is how they get them back. And they couldn't be any more wrong. They couldn't. They have completely missed the boat on the societal and social shifts that are happening right now in this country. And Joe Biden still thinks that it's 1992, and he's got his old school Democrat union buddies all pumped up because he's spending money. And boy, is he missing the big picture. He is not seeing the forest of the trees. I'll tell you that right now. Coming up next, I was worked up about the police department last night and something the Kansas City Star said about him. I'll get to it next. Pete Mundo on KCMO. So every night, getting ready for the show, after the kids go down, start doing some research and looking around. I mean, doing research throughout the day, but really tightening up what we're going to talk about the next morning and what the topics are locally and statewide and nationally. And I try to keep my blood pressure relatively low. I mean, the kids are in bed, it's quiet, it's me and the dog, and depending on, you know, what Katie's up to, it's quiet around the house. Maybe we got some cable news on in the background. Maybe it's a little Monday night football. It just kind of depends what mood I'm in. Well, last night, couldn't take it. Couldn't take it. All worked up. And that's because of this piece in the Kansas City Star from yesterday, editorial, talking about the police department here in Kansas City, Missouri, and the police department budget. And this headline from the Star editorial, Mayor Lucas, don't be another rubber stamp for anything the Kansas City police demand. So I'll get into what really pissed me off about this piece. But first and foremost, I looked at this and I thought to myself, okay, the Star is mad because local control, or as, and I use my air quotes when I say that, local political control of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department is not going to happen. They are bent out of shape about this. They have been wanting this to be true and wanting this to be the case and wanting this to happen for a very long time. It is not going to happen, to be very clear. All right, it's just not. Mayor Lucas took a stab at it somewhat this year. Tried to take out the $42 million and put it into, you know, community funds or whatever it was going to be used for. Judge said, nope. And now here we are, getting ready for next year's budget battle for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Now, it's one thing to sit there and say, you know, I think that the city council should have control of the police department budget. I would vehemently disagree with you based on the stunts that they tried to pull this year. But if you want to have that argument, we can have that argument. We can have that debate. But here was what was written in the Kansas City Star yesterday about this issue. For years, this newspaper has argued for local control of the Kansas City Police Department. We've said that the state-appointed police board doesn't really supervise the city's largest and most important function, leading to inefficiencies and soaring crime. Now, one can have an opinion that the police department should be controlled by the city council here in town. I would disagree with you, especially based on their nonsense here the last few months, but you can have that opinion. But for the Kansas City Star to write that the state-appointed police board doesn't supervise the city's largest and most important function, leading to inefficiencies and soaring crime, the implication there is that the current system has led to homicide increases, is completely, completely intellectually dishonest, and is an utter lie. An absolute lie from the Kansas City Star editorial board. There has never been evidence that the police being run in its present form has led to soaring crime. Never once. Never once has that been part of any legitimate conversation that anybody can point to. Because guess what? We have seen homicide increases, the largest going back 60 years in this country, and we've seen them all across the board. We've seen them mostly, unfortunately, in major cities, but it's also happened in more rural parts of America as well. There's nothing to point to where you can say, hey, those cities that are locally controlled by the city council that had their police departments controlled by the city council are doing a much better job on crime or something like that. That data does not exist. It just doesn't. So I put this up on Twitter last night, on social media last night, at Pete Mundo. And, you know, it's amazing. You get people that respond to you that I wouldn't trust to run a lemonade stand with Claire. Like, if these people came to my three-year-old daughter and said, hey, you want to run a lemonade stand? Besides the fact that I'd say, get out of here, you creep, I also would say, Claire, don't trust these people because I'm not convinced that they add two and two and get four. These are not people who have ever done anything when it comes to business. So here are some of the responses that I get. How is a state-appointed police board helping? What are the advantages? Well, the obvious advantage is you don't have the greasy meat paws of the city council trying to, you know, take these monies in whatever direction they want to take them in based on whatever the political whims are at the moment. That's number one. And number two, I would simply say it's not the job of me to say, hey, the state-appointed police board is helping. It's for you to convince anybody of reason that somehow shifting the local control saves anybody's life, somehow can improve what we're dealing with when it comes to, you know, increasing homicide rates, although things are down year over year from 2020 to 2021. So that's some good news. But like that's the question. That's what you've got to answer. There's a lot of people saying it's time to try something new. Okay. So is that what you do in business? You don't necessarily have to try something that makes sense. You just have to try something new. Imagine if business ran itself like that. You know, you have a bad quarter, you have a bad year in your small business, at your restaurant, at your shop, whatever it might be. And instead of strategically trying to figure out what do we need to do, you simply say, try something new. You just scream it. And then magically, you just try new stuff. Even if there's no evidence that new stuff is going to change anything. And in fact, there's more evidence that those new ideas may actually set you back and make things worse But hey, it's something new. It's new. It's fresh. It's different. So just do it. These are people that have never done anything when it comes to business or business management in their lives. It is so clear. On the text line, which is 816-576-7710, Pete, crime is in large part due to the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office not doing their jobs. They don't prosecute. They're too busy trying to legislate. Not their job. Want to legislate? Go to Congress. You're absolutely right. That's a major problem in the system. Gene Peters Baker is too busy trying to be a woke leader around Kansas City instead of actually prosecuting criminals. She loves going after cops. She loves acting like a social justice warrior. And as a result, people are dying on the streets of Kansas City. She is one of the biggest problems in this entire puzzle. There's no doubt about that. She is one of the biggest problems in this entire puzzle. But for people to simply come to the conclusion that if only we had local control of our police, we'd have this utopia in Kansas City. Life would be so good. There'd be no crime, no issues. Oh, we'd fix this thing in a heartbeat. I'm telling you, I've got that beachfront property sitting out there in Salina. It is all yours, baby. It's all yours. You just tell me when you're ready, and we'll get it going. Okay? You just sign the dotted line, and I will hand that sucker right over to you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And for the Star to be lying like this to its readers, all seven of them left, it's a real embarrassment. A real embarrassment. Make your case for your local political control. That's fine. But the idea that the state-appointed board leads to inefficiencies and soaring crime, because, yes, criminals, the criminals out there that are killing people around town, you know, something that really crosses their mind right before they're about to murder somebody is, boy, I'm sure glad that this police department has a governor-appointed police board of local citizens versus being run by the city council. Thank goodness for that. I mean, what a joke. What an absolute joke. Coming up on a lighter note, got to lighten it up after that, right? We can also get you at 576-7710. Whataburger's here, baby. You see those lines yesterday? Oh, my goodness. Those lines at that Whataburger in Lee's Summit. We're going to have to add those to the traffic reports here on KCMO with those lines. Got to get their own traffic report for Whataburger in Lee's Summit. Holy smokes. I'll tell you what happened there. We also got Charlie Gasparino of Fox Business Network. Charlie's going to join us just after 7 o'clock on KCMO Talk Radio.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Well, we're just going to hit the reset button here on KCMO Talk Radio. Our apologies when the technology doesn't want to work. It doesn't want to work. That's how it goes sometimes. We'll catch up with Charlie Gasparino soon here on KCMO Talk Radio. Good guy. Always a friend of the show. Mizzou grad. All right. So he's a Mizzou guy. And, you know, he always likes coming on in Kansas City. So we apologize for that. But as soon as we'll get him set up here another time. It's always good to have Charlie on, but it wasn't meant to be today. All right, that's just the reality. Now, speaking of Mizzou, I don't know if you saw this story, but Mizzou students have expressed some concerns about their safety on and near campus following multiple shootings in downtown Columbia this fall. So early on Sunday morning, an MU alert was sent to notify students about the deadly police-involved shooting outside of a nightclub in downtown, Vibes with a Z. The Vibes Lounge. I mean, Vibes with a Z. I don't know. I wouldn't trust that. So there was a shooting also outside of Silver Ball back on October 10th, and shots fired outside of Gold Bar back on November 6th. So MU alerts were not sent in response to these situations. Now, some people are saying, hey, what's the deal here, Mizzou? Are you going to be sending out this information or not? Do we deserve to know if there is a shooting downtown or not? Now, one of the TV stations over there in Colombia followed this story, talked to people on both sides of this, talked to somebody involved on the school side and talked to somebody involved on the student side. And here's how this went down and here's what they had to say.
Thank you so much for that question.
Today, MU spokesperson Christian Basie told me the university will only send out an alert if there's an ongoing threat to individuals or to campus. He says the system isn't designed to notify students of every incident that happens close to campus. But one student I spoke with says after the recent violence downtown, he wants more notifications.
An MU alert is designed as a critical emergency alert to allow people to make a decision immediately about their safety. It is not necessarily a news distribution system.
But it's better to have more than to be missing anything. If it doesn't affect me, I'll just ignore it. If it does, then I'll heed the warning.
Now, one thing I want to know, as you heard there from a guy that represents Mizzou, and then you also heard from a student who says, hey, tell me everything and anything. If there's shootings going on in downtown Columbia, I want to know about it. Mizzou is saying, well, it's not really our job. I mean, we're not a news source here. Where if there are students who are potentially in harm's way, we'll let you know. Well, my message to Mizzou would be, how do you know if you have students in harm's way or not? You got shootings happening in downtown Columbia. How do you know if there are students involved there or not? Why don't you just take the precautionary measures and inform your students that, hey, there's a shooting outside of fill-in-the-blank bar, fill-in-the-blank lounge, just an FYI. Like, if I'm a parent and I'm spending tens of thousands of dollars to send my kid to Mizzou, and my child may be downtown and may be going to one of these bars, one of these restaurants, and there just happens to be, what, three shootings over the last month and a half at these places, I kind of want to know about it. All right. I mean, I'm spending that kind of dough, and part of what I'm spending it for is for you to keep the kid informed. And if there's a shooting happening outside of a bar, they could be standing outside of or inside of. I think that's unreasonable to ask. Now, here's the problem for Mizzou, though. They don't want to broadcast this stuff. I mean, that's the reality. They do not want to broadcast this stuff. They do not want to make things look worse than they are. So they're like, well, if someone's in imminent danger, then yeah, we'll let you know about it. We'll inform you about it. But otherwise, you know, if not, we'll just, you know, we're not the news department here. We're not a TV station. We're not a radio station. We're not the newspaper. Let's kind of let you find out on your own, and hopefully you won't know about it. Because it looks bad for them. That's the reality. It looks bad for them if they're sending out, like, weekly text alerts about shootings all over town. Think that's going to make you as a parent think twice about sending your kid to Mizzou or going back for the spring semester or whatever it might be? Yeah, they're protecting themselves. Now, what I also find ironic about this, I guess is what I would say, the phrase I would use. What I would also find ironic about this is, you know, I'd be curious to know the amount of support from the student body, who is now suddenly upset that they aren't finding out about more shootings that are happening in their city. And also maybe some of the staff and the bureaucracy at Mizzou and where they stood on, you know, police reform over the last 16 to 18 months. I would just be curious to know where exactly they're at. Because there's something hypocritical about saying, we must learn about all these shootings. Somebody must inform us. Why is this happening? Why are we more dangerous? And I'm not saying Columbia has gone down this road. They have not. But if you are a supporter of it, maybe it makes you think twice. All right? Maybe it makes you say, you know, maybe we actually should have our law enforcement patrolling places like downtown Columbia on Saturday and, you know, Friday and Saturday night. Maybe that's a good thing to have for us. I'm just throwing it out there. Just, you know, saying, probably good to have that. 5767710. Let's go to you. Let's go to the phones. Also, the text line is 816-576-7710. Pete, I disagree with you on this. We would then have to require UMKC to do notifications for shootings all over the metro area. That's ridiculous. There are plenty of other sources where a student or any other person can retrieve that information. The school should only be concerned about the campus and the campus-related activities or premises. Well, see, UMKC, to me, you're talking about the largest city in the state. Right? Columbia, a little more isolated, downtown. I don't know. To me, that's a bigger deal. But if you want to do it for Kansas City, Missouri, first off, you're doing it mostly for the tourist districts, the places that people are going out to eat, people are going out to frequent. You want to do it for Westport, Power and Light, the Plaza. I still would be okay with that. Say hi to Jim. He's an independent. Go ahead, Jim.
You know, it's my opinion. It's not the college's job to babysit all the students. If it's close to the campus, a danger to the campus, yeah. You know, but they can have students anywhere. You know, they're going to notify the whole United States of every shooting.
Well, Jim, but here's my thing. You've got these colleges that are bloated, absolutely bloated, when you talk about, you know, a massive bureaucracy. And they want to basically say, well, you know, this isn't our responsibility. We're going to stand back on this one. I think in a place like Columbia, they should absolutely be sending out a text alert if they know that there are a couple of hot spots. Listen, we all know what the college kid hot spots are, okay? And if you've got a couple of those hot spots and there is violence happening at those locations and they know about it, why should they not be responsible for sending out a text alert when you've got parents spending tens of thousands of dollars a year to send their kids to these places?
It's, you know, because it's not their job to babysit the students. You know, these students are young adults. You know, they have to take responsibility themselves at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. I understand it there, Jim, and thanks for the call. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, these colleges want to get their hands into a lot of different places and be involved in a lot of different things. A lot of them they should not be involved with. If you know that there are places that you have a lot of your students and they gather in these locations, okay, and there is crime happening outside or near these locations, I don't think it's unreasonable as a parent and or a student to say, hey, there are some problems down here. I don't think that's babysitting. Stu is on KCMO in Rosedale. Go ahead, Stu.
Hey, Mungo. Well, first of all, you know, you raise a good point. I'm going to sort of leave aside the point of, you know, are these students concerned about this crime are the same ones that are marching to defund the police?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that, number one, if you're a parent and you're paying $10,000 a year for your kid to attend school there, you could probably afford to treat the kid to a police scanner, or there is probably an opportunity for somebody to come up with a police scanner app for the phones that these kids are glued to all the time, and that would solve that problem.
Little entrepreneurial spirit there, Stu. I like that.
Right. But in addition, you know, what you just said about, well, there are hot spots. You know, I can't help but think, Pete, if I'm a student and I know that there are hot spots and there was a shooting there a week ago, am I going to say, well, let's go there because so far there hasn't been a shooting there tonight?
You are assuming.
That makes a lot of sense.
You're assuming 21-year-olds have common sense, Stu. I think that's a mistake on your part.
Yeah, I know.
We've all been there. I know it's not that long ago for you, Stu. Thanks for the call. I know it's not all that long ago, but assuming 21-year-olds use common sense, I don't know about that. Coming up next, boy, could sports betting be coming to Missouri? It's possible. We'll get to it coming up. So I like this on the text line. Well, this is also from a biased K-State parent who started off this text saying Mizzou sucks. So that gives you a little bit of insight into what they think. But anyway, Pete, here's the type of text I get as a Kansas State parent. The university acting responsibly. K-State alert, : avoid the area of Denison Ave near the engineering complex due to an accident. Now, this comes on the heels of the story we're talking about where Mizzou is saying, hey, it's not our job to go out there and alert students every time there's a shooting downtown, which they've had a handful over the last few weeks. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you're spending that kind of dough And if you get a shooting near a place that you know a lot of students go to, then I think it is. I don't think it's too much to ask with the amount of money these kids and these parents are paying these places. I mean, the amount of stuff that you guys do that's a waste of our time, we could find a laundry list of that. Is it too much to ask to say, hey, got a shooting downtown by the fill-in-the-blank bar? Avoid the area? That's not our job. It's not our responsibility. No, they don't want it to be their responsibility because it makes them look bad. And it makes the university look bad as well. That's the problem. Matt is in Columbia, or from Columbia. Hello, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Huge fan. We love your show over here in Columbia. We stream it on the internet.
And
I've been a lifelong resident of Columbia, and I can tell you, in defense of the Columbia Police Department, so we started, the big shooting happened on homecoming night downtown, and it wasn't even late, and they beefed up the patrols downtown. Last Saturday, a 51-year-old thug, two-time felon, was kicked out of a bar, and he shot his gun in the air, not at somebody, but in the air, and the police had extra patrols downtown. They saw the man, and I don't know what happened, the gun battle or whatever, but they arrested the guy. He's in jail, awaiting charges and trial. And then last Saturday, the two bars which this happened at aren't big college bars. They're thug bars. And when I say that, I mean mostly thugs are going to these places. And the police had a presence at the bar on Saturday night, and the owner asked them to leave. They left. And then a gun battle happened out front from disparaging people hanging out front, and I'm sure an altercation happened of some sort, and they went right to the gun. So that's the word from the People's Republic of Columbia, Pete.
The People's. All right, now let me ask you this then, Matt. Is this what is the response there in Columbia? I mean, is Mizzou worried about this stuff in terms of, you know, a kid or a student getting caught up in it? Or is it, as to what you're saying, these places, these establishments are really not where kids are hanging out anyway, so it feels like a totally separate world?
I think Mizzou is concerned, and I don't know the correlation between Columbia Public PD and the University PD, how well they work together, mm-hmm. but absolutely there's air in town of, like, we're all concerned, you know? I mean, this is a great community, and Mizzou is a great institution, and frankly, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of these guys and these characters that are doing this, they're hiding out from your city in St. Louis over here. That's a lot of what it is.
Really?
You know, I think they get in trouble. They're not real gang guys or whatever, but they get in trouble over in your town or St. Louis. So they come to Columbia to hide out for a while, and they start some stuff over here, you know?
Wow.
That's been a running theme for me for the last 10 years, you know?
But it has, it has gotten worse. Just your anecdotal experience, things like this have not improved. They've only gotten worse.
100% gotten worse over the last 3 to 4 years.
Wow. Very interesting. Hey, Matt, thanks for tuning in from Columbia, my man. Appreciate you.
You bet. And it's Mac, M-A-C, like Big Mac.
Oh, Mac. Hey, all right, Mac. Good deal, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, brother.
Take care. Right, Mac in Columbia. I want to get that right. Props up to Mac streaming us on, KCMO app maybe, or Alexa, Google Home, whatever it might be. That's a good way to catch the show as well if you're out of the listening area. I mean, that's got to be problematic. Where are these all these Mizzou teachers, by the way? Professors probably chanting about defunding the police over the last year and a half with these kids and brainwashing them. Now all of a sudden you got this violent crime issue in Columbia, and probably not hearing a lot of that, are you? Nah, I don't know. Just wondering. Steve in Oak Grove, what's up there, Big Steve?
Good morning, Pete. I love your show. I most generally always agree with you, but I have to kind of part ways with you a little bit.
That's all right. That's all right. We'll make it through it, Steve. It's okay.
First off, you know, you say, well, the city and the university doesn't want the black eye. Of course not, Pete. You can live in western Kansas where the wind blows 50 miles an hour every day, and the Chamber of Commerce is going to call it therapeutic breezes. I mean, everybody's going to put the best spin on their town that they can. They're not going to advertise the bad. But as far as the university, putting out alerts. Every news organization, if you load their app on your phone, you get alerts from them of breaking news. Why is this the university's responsibility? And I do agree with you that the universities are involved in things that they shouldn't be, but why are we tying these two things together? If the university's involved in an activity that they shouldn't be, let's deal with that. But let's not just say, oh, because the university does this, you know, they should be sending out alerts.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my thing. They are a business. This is big business, right? These colleges,
sure.
They're big business.
Sure.
And you've got students who are either taking out loans, hopefully not, but parents are paying. And if you are charging people this kind of money to go to your establishment, part of what I don't believe is an unreasonable request is to say, hey, if there's a potential that my child or I, as the student, are in some danger or could be near something that is dangerous in that moment, why is it too much to ask to blast out a text and saying, hey, shooting downtown at 8th and Walnut, try to avoid the area? Why is that too much to ask?
I just don't think it's the university's responsibility. I mean, like I said, you can get alerts on your phone from the mm-hmm. from the news. And somebody did steal my thunder. I think it was your first caller when they talked about UMKC. If UMKC did that with their proximity to the plaza in Westport, your phone would be going off all the time, Pete.
Yeah. You know what they might do though, Steve? It might wake up these dopey kids to realize maybe we need police officers in town. Maybe I should stop listening to my moron sociology professor about policing. You know, I'm just saying there's a possible benefit there as well.
Oh, I completely agree with you, but I think those are two separate issues.
Yeah, no, that's fair, Steve. That is fair. Thanks for the call. I'm looking
okay.
at it from
love
a. Thank you, Steve.
Love your show, Pete.
Thanks, my man. I'm looking at it from a lot of angles here. I don't think it's too much to ask of these colleges to, you know. And by the way, there's ways to automate this, right? I mean, I get every time there's a problem in Kansas City, Missouri. There's a shooting, there's even a traffic fatality. I get an email as someone in media here in town from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department that says, hey, we're responding to a shooting on fill in the blank. We've got a fatal accident, fill in the blank. All you've got to do if you're Mizzou or you're UMKC is take one of your brainiac professors, if there's any of them left, and create a filter that says, if we have one of these alerts from the police department in this area or that area or wherever the area is that you believe a lot of students go to, we are going to send out this blast, this text message blast. That's it. There's no privacy invasion here. It's just a way for the university that is charging tens of thousands of dollars a year to, you know, give a little more to protect the people that are spending that money to go there. That's it. That's really the extent of it. Tammy and Shawnee, go ahead, Tammy, you're up.
Hi, Pete. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a Mizzou grad from several years ago, and now our son is going to college there on a full ride scholarship. I took him out for supper at a very fine restaurant downtown on a Saturday night in Columbia about 2 weeks ago, and before I could get into the restaurant with my hand on the doorknob, I was accosted by a total stranger mm-hmm. in my face. You know, it was pretty frightening.
Wow.
And this all boils down to money. The university doesn't want this getting out because it's bad PR.
Exactly.
And it translates into less federal dollars coming to the university and less students coming there. That's what it boils down to, and that's not right, because they should be taking the safety of the citizens of Columbia, which includes those college kids, into account and keeping them safe. And sending alerts is part of keeping people safe in that community.
Bingo. Well said there, Tammy. Well said. Absolutely. Absolutely well said. Dennis Lenexa, you're up there. Dennis, let's squeeze in a couple more. Go ahead, my man.
Okay. Hey, I've got a daughter at St. Louis University. Actually, two daughters that went to school there, and we receive text messages and phone calls when anything happens near that campus with regard to robbery or shooting or anything like that. They take the student's safety first, mm-hmm. Which is really not about that school. And they're not afraid to let us know what's going on down there. And student safety comes first, and we appreciate that.
That's awesome. I mean, Dennis, that's all I think that if I were a parent of a Mizzou student, that's all I'd be asking for. Put the safety of the kids first.
That's the way it should be. And don't be afraid about, messages getting out or whatever. Take kid safety first. That's all we ask, and St. Louis University's done a really good job for that.
That's awesome. And they know, I mean, Dennis, good call. And they know they're in one of the most dangerous cities on a per capita basis in America. So you can either hide under the pillow and pretend like it's not existent and, you know, hold your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. Or you can actually be up front with your parents, with the parents who are footing these tuitions and, you know, call it straight. Last one here. Brian, Kansas City. Go ahead, Brian.
See, I just wanted to make a point against everybody who said, you know, well, if you and KC did this, they'd be calling in, you know, things for Power and Light. Columbia is not Kansas City.
Yeah.
Columbia is a college town.
Yeah.
When people think of Kansas City, they don't think of the University of the Missouri, Kansas City, you know. They think of Stockyards and the Chiefs. So that's all I wanted to say. It's a completely different town. I do not like that comparison at all. And I hope you have a good day, Pete. Thank you.
Thank you there, Brian. You have a good day as well, my man. We'll end on that one, on this topic. Yeah, Columbia is, what, 120,000 people? It's a college town. And, yeah, Kansas City's 500,000. So I don't like that comparison either. I don't. Coming up, sports betting in Missouri. There's been some updates on this that I want to let you know about as we wrap up this hour here on KCMO, because Jeff City's been dragging his feet on this for way too long. Forget Topeka. They're not touching this thing for a while. But there's going to be a way around it, and some of the pro sports teams may be behind this. So keep an eye on this. We'll tell you about it here coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. Why are we trying to normalize things like being attracted to minors, something as sick and twisted as that? Or, excuse me, we're calling them now MAPS, minor attracted persons. Yes, that's the term that is being used to describe people who are attracted to kids. Minor attracted persons. This video went viral in the last couple of days, and it's a professor at Old Dominion University in Virginia. The professor, as the story goes on to say, is under fire. Her name is Alan Walker. I can't tell if it's a... No disrespect, I have no idea what the gender is of Alan Walker in looking at the video and looking at the photo. Not a clue. But Alan Walker teaches sociology and criminal justice at Old Dominion. Yeah, this is a criminal justice teacher at Old Dominion who you are going to hear from, who is going to make the case that, you know, using the phrase like pedophile, come on. We got to use nicer phrases like minor attracted persons. Now, I'm bringing this up because, like, this is just stuff that's getting caught on camera in colleges, all right? It's just the stuff that's getting caught on camera, just the tip of the iceberg. And when you talk about societally what this means and the dangerous path that this takes us down, I mean, there's a lot to unwrap here. But let's now play the audio of this Old Dominion University teacher talking about how we should really refer to people as minor attracted persons instead of, you know, creepy, disgusting pedos.
Thank you so much for that question. I use the term minor attracted person or MAP in the title and throughout the book for multiple reasons. First of all, because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them. And MAP advocacy groups like Before You Act have advocated for use of the term MAP. They've advocated for it primarily because it's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile. A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true, and it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors. I've definitely heard the idea that you brought up, though, that the use of the term minor attracted person suggests that it's okay to be attracted to children. But using a term that communicates who someone is attracted to doesn't indicate anything about the morality of that attraction.
Oh, man. That is a professor at a fairly prominent university in this country saying, you know, calling someone a pedophile if they technically haven't committed pedophilia and just may have an attraction to children, that's not really fair. You know, because they haven't necessarily done anything that would qualify them as a pedophile. They're just attracted to young people. They haven't acted on those desires yet. So we should make sure that we don't put them in the same bucket as somebody who has. How about this? I don't care if you are somebody who has acted on that creepy, disgusting attraction to children, or you haven't. Either way, you've got a problem. And no matter what, we are not going to sit here and normalize it and worry about your feelings. All right? We're not going to do that. I'm not in the business, and no society should operate in the business of making somebody who is sexually attracted to children feel better about themselves for those feelings. Because what you are then doing is making it okay to have those feelings and accepting somebody who has those feelings. And no, we're not going to do that. Because guess what? If you normalize somebody who has those feelings, then you end up in a scenario, potentially, where they're more likely to act on those feelings. Hey, don't worry over the audio. That little kiddo turns you on. Don't worry. Oh, you know, you're just a minor attracted person. Don't worry. You're in a safe space here, okay? Thank you for being accepting of my feelings. Thank you for being accepting of my emotions. Oh, gosh, I'm so lucky to have friends like you. Over my dead body would I have a conversation with somebody like that. All right? It's like, I got a little secret for you here, Pete. Little kids turn me on. You're barking up the wrong tree and coming to the wrong person. And you know what? I've imagined that's the case for most of this audience. Now, you might say, why is this such a big deal? Because anyone that is trying to normalize feelings like this, it's just in line. It's very much in line with kind of where the whole like LGBTQ plus XYZ 345 movement has gone. I'm all about consenting adults doing what they want to do. All right? I've never said that consenting adults do what they want to do. Do your thing. If you're an adult and you want to change your gender, be my guest. I'm not sitting here and saying that if you're an adult, you do what you want to do. Now, I'm not going to sit here and treat you like a hero. All right? I'm not going to act like you're Muhammad Ali. But if you're an adult, you do you. In your relationships in life, with yourself and your personal body, you do you. But when you start going down to the kids, whether it's telling kids, it's okay if you're a boy, but you feel like you're a girl, right? And you start encouraging that, and you start playing that lane, and we start getting all this garbage mixed up with children, then suddenly, where do you draw the line? I mean, that's like my question, where do you draw the line? My line has always been, if you're an adult, you do your thing, you do you, and I'm not here to tell you what to do. But when you start graying all this stuff up, and that's what's happening, it's the idea is to create a gray area where people don't know what the line is, and people are afraid to draw a line. And if you're afraid to draw a line, right, if you're afraid to draw a line in the sand and say, no, this is unacceptable, we're not going to encourage kids or tell kids they can be whatever gender they want to be. We're not going to tell an adult who has a sexual attraction to kids that, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt your feelings by calling you a pedophile because you haven't technically acted on those feelings. I'll call you a minor attracted person. What does that do to society? What does that do when they want you to have to think twice about what you call somebody or how you refer to somebody who knowingly is sexually attracted to kids? We're destroying ourselves from the inside out. Who needs China? We're destroying ourselves from the inside out here is what we're doing. Derek in Overland Park. Go ahead, Derek. You're on KCMO. What's happening?
Good morning, Pete. Hope you're having a good day. Yeah, that professor probably said probably one of the most nihilistic things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, so if she's working in the criminal justice system, does that mean that we're going to start seeing law reviews about how pedophilia should kind of be erased from common law or something like that? I mean, there's so many things to think about on this kind of stuff. And it's okay to release the stigma based on someone's feelings, but it's not also okay to judge the inherent white racism that's going on in America at the same time. I just don't know how that kind of computes a little bit. So just a couple of thoughts that I had on that.
Derek, excellent points, my man. Thanks for making them. Excellent, excellent points. Where do you draw that line? And it is funny how, you know, as he brings up there, well, you know, white privilege, white supremacy, very much must attack. But someone attracted to a kid, come on, that's not a pedophile, it's a minor attract. Come on, easy does it now. Easy. We got to make sure their feelings aren't hurt. Discriminate on race, though, be our guest. All right? Be our guest. I mean, how screwed up is this? And how about the response from the college on all this? The college, what a bunch of cowards at this college, and how they responded to this professor who doesn't want you to call people attracted to kids pedophiles. They want you to call them minor attracted persons because they haven't acted on their feelings. The colleges are so afraid. And this is what happens when you bow to the woke. You have to keep bowing. These colleges have dug their own graves. And this example from Old Dominion and their response to this professor is par for the course. I will share it with you and we'll get to your calls at 576-7710 coming up next right here on KCMO Talk Radio. Can't normalize this stuff. You just can't do it. All right. You just cannot and should not do it. And that is what this professor at Old Dominion, Alan Walker, did when I'll replay some of what he, I think it's a biological male.
They, them.
Whatever the plus play is, I don't want to judge. You know, I think if you use the wrong pronouns, it's worse than using no pronouns. So maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut. Made this controversial, to put it mildly, statement about how, you know, calling people attracted to kids pedophiles, that's not fair because I haven't really acted on their wants and needs and emotions yet. So let's call them minor attracted persons.
Thank you so much for that question. I use the term minor attracted person or MAP in the title and throughout the book for multiple reasons. First of all, because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them. And MAP advocacy groups like Before You Act have advocated for use of the term MAP. They've advocated for it primarily because it's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile.
All right. Well, you can take your terms and shove it up your, never mind. All right. That's what you can do with your terms. Be my guest. Take those terms and stick it where the sun don't shine. Okay. I don't care what you want to be called. I really don't. We're not going to sit here and normalize somebody who is attracted to a child. I don't care what they want to be called. If you have an attraction to a child and you want to, and you have any inkling to break the law, no one in their right mind should normalize you or should give a rip about what your emotions are. That's not how this works. Now, here's what Old Dominion, the college, had to say about this. I mean, this is crazy. Old Dominion had a statement in response to this teacher. Didn't fire him or her or she or they or them or whatever. Just a statement distancing themselves from this take. Following recent social media activity and direct outreach to the institution, it's important to share that Old Dominion, as a caring and inclusive community, does not endorse or promote crimes against children or any form of criminal activity. Wow.
Talk about a bombshell.
How about that? Wow, what a strong statement from Old Dominion. Wow, you show them, guys. Yeah, we're inclusive and caring, so we're not going to do anything about somebody advocating on why we should call someone who's got pedophilia tendencies yet hasn't yet acted on them, why we should care about their feelings and their emotions and their wants and their needs. But we're also not going to do anything to the teacher, right? Not even a suspension? Just like, yeah, we don't promote abusing children. Wow. So strong, so powerful. This is what happens when you've spent years kowtowing and praying at the altar of the woke mob. You can never push back on anything because they will keep pushing. And the minute you put your foot down, the minute they cancel you. So way to go, universities. Way to go. Great job. You've dug your own grave, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. Fred in Overland Park. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, the stupid thing is what the person said's not even making sense in the fact I'm not an expert on this.
That's
but
good.
I thought the term pedophile meant that you have done something. You have either been arrested for having child porn, you have physically touched someone, you've done something. I don't even know if that term even applies to quote-unquote someone that is attracted to young children. So I'm saying that's stupid in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're having these discussions, but here's the whole point I called. This is what I've said before, that by the Democrat Party going to every group and then just twisting everything, just like you said on giving a surgery for a five-year-old to change its sexual orientation, that's called sick and mental illness. But again, all they do is they'll just tell every group that there's somebody after you, you've been treated bad, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the nutcases come out and come up with stupid stuff like this.
Yeah.
The teacher should be fired because that's not what the discussions or the classes are supposed to be.
Exactly.
I'm not sending my child to school to learn that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right. And by the way, pedophile, if you look up pedophile in the dictionary, it's a person who is sexually attracted to children. It doesn't mean that you've acted on those attractions. It just means you're sex. So if you are a pedophile, let's be very clear. You are not a MAP. Or whatever the hell the acronym is. It's MAP. Yeah, hold on. Let me make sure I got it right. Minor Attracted Persons. No, you're a pedophile. All right, let's be very clear. You're a pedo. All right, that's it. That's it. Aaron in Kansas City. Hey, Aaron, you're up. What's happening?
Hey, Pete. Hey, one thing that I wanted to bring up with this MAPS conversation is, you know, even if they don't act on it, the thing is they're doing it in some manner, whether it's, you know, child pornography or something to that degree, that they're still funding and promoting, you know, child, you know, sex trafficking and whatnot. And the fact that somebody is talking about it as it's, you know, these people are victims, it's just absolutely ridiculous to me.
You're absolutely right, Aaron. They are not the victims here, okay? They're not. Anyone that is trying to make them out to be victims, barking up the wrong tree, my man. Absolutely right. And here's the other thing. If they're trying to get some sympathy for these folks, like if you want to better yourself, if you're like, I have these feelings and I hate these feelings and I need to get rid of these feelings, you know, maybe you're someone who was abused as a child. Like, okay, let's have that conversation. But accepting this and making this normal and trying to normalize it, it's gross, it's sickening, it's disgusting, and it's the last thing that we should any of us should want as part of society. Coming up, Kansas City, Missouri Police Department deserves some backing here because some local media sure won't do it. We'll get to it next.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.